Save big money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Lalari.
Lalari.
Welcome to tea time.
Lalari.
Ooh. Yes. Ooh, I got Lalari.
Yeah.
Lalari.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Do, do,
do, do. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I love it.
We serenade all of our guests. Actually, that's a lie.
No, we
just
do not.
You.
Oh, well, first of everything, hello.
Yes.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'm a little nervous, but you know.
Don't be nervous. Oh, you're kind.
Look at both of us at the same time. We could be anywhere rehearsed.
Right, but I am happy to be here.
We're yes. happy to see your face.
Very happy to have you. So you traveled in from?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Babe, you guys have that in common.
Now, when you go to the airport in Atlanta, are you stopping by the only soul food restaurant there, or are you getting Waffle House on the way to the airport?
I stop by my parents' house.
Smart.
My parents
That's
live
the soul
near
food.
The airport. So, yeah, I go to their house first, give me a little bite.
Okay.
Go to the airport.
I just kind of want to know people's routine. Do you eat before you get on the plane, babes, or do you eat at the airport?
Oh, I never eat at the airport. I am a person who packs their food. Mm. I have my plane snacks. I have my purple sweet potatoes, and that's how I get onto any plane, any road trip.
This is
Let's
true.
Go.
I know this already. I just wanted to
Yeah, I know.
To
I appreciate that. I mean, what about you? What do you have, like a
plane routine?
A plane routine?
Well, no, I just go and just let the Lord lead me, okay?
I just get on that plane and go.
I don't pack any foods. List. I go to the Delta Sky Club and get the free buffet.
Yummy.
The free drinks.
Yeah.
And here we are.
There you go.
I agree.
I love that.
I fully agree.
Yeah. Do you like Waffle House as much as my wife does?
I love Waffle House.
I was about to say, if you don't, you better get up out this chair.
Okay. Well,
I love Waffle House. I would eat Waffle House for Thanksgiving.
What's the meal? What's the choice?
What is it that you love so much about it?
Well, everything. The chaos, first and foremost. It's just like... The ambiance in Waffle House is just different than any other place.
It's
like,
real love.
It's real love.
It's real love.
Like, it's real love.
We love food, and we watch a lot of YouTubers. And recently, we watched one of our favorite YouTubers, Jonathan Weissman, and he was doing the best burger across the United States. And he went to Waffle House, and they were just like, this is so good. And it was so simple and so pure. And I've never eaten there, but every time we go anywhere, kind of like we're a road trip family, but we'll pass it. Raven's like, oh, Waffle House. So I don't get the allure. I get the
I'll explain it
allure.
To you. I'll okay. explain it to you. Okay. The cheese grits are thick and not runny.
Mm-hmm.
They put it underneath a layer of the cheese grits so it melts appropriately. The grill is dirty in a good way so that when you cook your
it's seasoned.
You know what I mean? That flat top, obviously they've been cooking since, well, it's 24 hours most of the times.
Yeah.
So they've been cooking all day.
Yeah.
The people there, I remember the last Waffle House I went to, a guy came up, he found out who I was, and he goes, I cooked that with love today. And I go, yes, sir. I think I ate it in 5 minutes. I had a waffle, baptized, chicken covered, smothered, and diced, twice cooked hash browns, diced, smothered, and covered as well, and a hot water. Because you got to put
dip the... You got to dip the utensils in the hot water.
You gotta dip the tinsels into you hot because we love you, but you know you're not clean.
You know you're not clean.
You, neither of you want to give me a high five.
Babe, you...
Oh,
that was the most, I was in the middle flailing like, why is this? This happened with Lisa and Walter too. I just don't exist. I guess
sorry.
I just...
You love... You do
you
exist.
Yes.
You exist.
I was just...
Just had a moment.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. No, I don't want to break up a Waffle House utensil hot water moment. That
it's
is
real.
It's real.
Real. It's real. And on a good night, you get some good entertainment.
Right. Just by accident.
Just by
accident. Happenstance.
And not just by Lala.
Not just
no.
by Lala.
No, no.
Listen, I do not equate to the entertainment that you get in Waffle House. Like, that's just another level of entertainment.
Fair. Not to bring it all the way back to Jonathan Weissman, but back to Jonathan Weissman.
Oh, my God. Why Jonathan is not on the podcast?
I know. But what he said, because this is echoing what Lala said, is that the burger was like the best drunk food. He was like, if you ate this drunk, you would be... elated. Yeah. You'd be so happy. So yes, no, it wouldn't be your kind of entertainment.
Be drunk,
because
high, waking up, sleepy,
you're an actual
awake.
Performer.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
Okay, so we've established that we have Waffle House. Well, not me so much, but Waffle House is in common at this table.
Yeah, for sure.
There
sure.
we go.
But we have Lala here at the podcast, and we are excited to have you to kind of, you know, dig in to the life that is you. let's start with the fact that, do you count a dance step as in go, or are you counting it in 5, 6, 7, 8?
Oh, I'm a sound effects type of person.
That part.
Boom, boom, all of that.
Wa-chow.
I need all
boom,
that.
Boom. All day long, right?
All day long. Like, counting, what is that? Who counts? This is not school, honey.
I just wanted to know because it's the feeling that goes into the movement.
It's definitely.
Could you teach my wife a dance move real quick?
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's see. Let me see.
Just what a little shoulder move.
We're going to do one.
One.
And shimmy.
Shimmy.
Here we go. So,
shimmy. Period.
Not period.
No, I'm already
period,
off.
Poo.
Yeah, right? Period.
So poo. maybe it works better with no counting for you, because I try to teach her how to dance all the time, and because of my wife, sometimes her rhythm is not there.
Because of my wife? I think she's saying it's because I'm white. You mixed up your W words.
I use wife and whites.
I think that it's unfair to... I think it's unfair to assume that you can put up a really complicated TikTok dance and then expect me to learn it in 3 beats or whatever. And
I don't know.
No,
You just learned a TikTok dance in 3 beats.
Well, I love this. This should have been we're going to do it as a TikTok after, and I'll kill it, you guys. I'm going to continue practicing. Okay, so I want to know, Lala, in Atlanta, growing up as a little boy, what is life like for you?
Oh, life was... it was all over the place. Mm. You know, being in the South as a gay kid, a black gay kid, from a Christian family.
Oh, honey.
Very over the Baptist.
Mm. I got some whiskey in the corner.
Please bring it out, Jesus, because it's going to get deep. It was a lot growing up to deal with. Like, I never really got gay bashing from the outside. It was in the family, in the inside. Where I, you know, got it from.
Yeah.
But, you know, as time went on, I learned how to deal with it. Dance was my escape. That's why I danced so much, because that was my way. I didn't have nobody to talk to. So my way to, I guess, let out my emotions was to dance. Mm. Dance saved my life. I say that all the time.
Really?
Dance
definitely
saved my life. So when you say gay bashing, I don't want to, like, go into a trigger moment.
Yeah.
But I do find it interesting a lot in families, they think that they're saying something that's going to build you up, but it's actually an undercut with a serrated knife right to the jugular. Do you remember a sentence or a moment when you were like, oh, this is not because you love me, this is because you're hating on me right now?
Yeah. I remember they put me into football.
Oh, come on now. You're supposed to know your child. He's supposed to know your child.
They put me into football to toughen me up.
Mm.
This is good for you. This is going to make you a man. And meanwhile, I was very rebellious. So I'll be on the field doing 8 counts with the Chili's. I'll look at the Chili's and they hated it. They said, okay, yeah, let me pull him off this football team because it's not going to work for him. But yeah, that was one of the moments where I feel like, you know, you're not really doing this to help me. You're doing this to...
Did you know you were gay, or did you just say you were different?
Well, I didn't know what gay was, but I knew I was different. For a long time when I was young, I thought I was supposed to be a female, because the only thing I saw that was attracted to a man was a female.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I was like, well, I'm attracted to this guy, but I don't look like my mama. So I think I'm supposed to be like my mama. But as I grew older, I found out what...
how did you discover what gay is?
Well, on my mother's side of the family, they were a little more accepting. And my grandmother, she had a best friend, and we called him Auntie Fish.
There's always somebody in the family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Auntie Fish is what we called. I don't know why we called him Auntie Fish, but that's what we called him.
We know what we call him. We know why we call him Auntie Fish.
We're not going to get into that part right now.
Uncle Fish.
Right. So Auntie Fish, I would just admire Auntie Fish. Like, Auntie Fish was like my Beyonce at the moment. Like, when Auntie Fish came over, I would just get so happy. And I would just like, he didn't necessarily tell me what the gay lifestyle was, but I kind of just like looked at him and just kind of followed behind him. And that's how I learned about the lifestyle.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Did you have a moment where you like officially came out?
No, I don't think I had to come out. Like, they knew
from
the beginning. Like, I never had to say it. Like, hey,
I love that.
Okay.
Wow.
But you did get pushed into drag.
Yes. So drag came. Okay, so I was always a very flamboyant performer, right? And at the time, we didn't have the Renaissance dancers that we have with Beyonce. Shout out to Beyonce. So the only way that they felt like I would succeed in the entertainment industry as a dancer was to do drag, because the only way I could be a feminine performer was to put on a wig and makeup.
Like, what year was this?
Oh, my God. This had to be, like, 2009, 8, huh. 7, early years.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to do drag. Like, I love drag, don't get me wrong. I enjoy the art form, but it was just nothing that I necessarily wanted to do. But I tried it, mm-hmm. and lo and behold.
And you succeeded.
I succeeded.
So up until that point, were you just working as a dancer, trying to continue being a dancer, mm-hmm. and then something shifted where you were then told, we think we need to see you in drag?
Yeah.
And...
yeah, so at the time I was working as a dancer choreographer, but I was doing more choreography than actually performing, and I wanted to perform more. And that is when it was like, well, try drag, you'll be on more stages. And I tried it. And
it's interesting how the industry looks at you and goes, oh, here's where you're supposed to be,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but that's not really what your soul wants to do,
yes.
but you go into it anyway, and then you succeed. Yeah. So I don't know if you had this moment, because some of that is kind of parallel with me. Or this is what you're supposed to do. I do it. I succeed. And I'm like, but that's not really what my heart wants to do. That's not the passion.
Yeah.
But I learn from that experience, mm-hmm. and then, you know, start to journey outside of it and yeah. craft what I actually want to do. So you have Little Lala. He's a performer, dancer, drag. You're out of it. Then you're what's your journey? What is Lala's brand and craft now?
More acting. I would like to actually get into more acting. Mm. Like, I discovered my niche for acting in school. I did a, what is it? I guess a school
play?
Black history play, yeah.
yeah.
And
who'd you play?
Madea.
Not Black History Madea.
That was the first time, I guess, me and drag, too. They put me in drag.
I'm so mad at you right now. Madea for Black History. I mean,
Rosa
I guess
Park,
so.
The Rosa Parks scene where Rosa Parks on the bus.
I'm dead.
Yeah,
I'm
I was dead. The Madea character that
got it.
Got Madea. I mean, Rosa Parks. Yeah,
oh, my God.
So I've always had a love for acting and music, more music. I was actually recording music at a young age. I remember I was in New York, and I danced, what was it called? Wild Out Wednesday on One Sister Park.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes. And a producer came to my father. He was like, I want to make your son the next Lupe Fiasco. And my dad was like, no. Because I don't think my parents wanted to deal with, like, the entertainment industry to that
degree,
you know. Mm-hmm. So
and also just trusting anybody saying
exactly.
that they want to make you, you know,
make your child anything.
Yeah, we got somebody in jail for shit like that right now.
Exactly.
So you don't really
that
go
didn't happen,
that.
But I eventually started recording music at like 19 or 20. I never put it out until I got on Drag Race.
So Drag Race, what was that experience like for you, and how did this impact your mental health, and what was that journey?
Yeah, Drag Race was an amazing experience. Let me tell you, like, being on TV, I love being on TV. It's the best thing ever. That is an amazing experience.
It's a drug.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So in doing some research for this moment, I'm looking at you on Drag Race, and I see, and I don't know really the context, so roll with me, and also if you don't want to talk about it, be like, I don't want to talk about it. But I see this clip of you strutting, and you're wearing a bunch of bags. What was that?
That was a design challenge, sewing challenge, rather.
Okay.
And I did not know how to sew at that time. So I just glued some bags to the corset.
Hilarious.
And I was like, I'm going to deal with it.
Because they were eating you alive.
They
were
alive.
Like, what is wrong?
They
yeah.
still do to this day, Lord. You're going to bring
I'm sorry.
Back the shame.
Well, I didn't think it was that terrible. I mean, here, now they're going to loop me into this. But I didn't think it was that terrible. I was like, okay, he's working. And your legs looked amazing.
Well.
And I was like, all that matters, really. Like, if you ignore the middle part, like, everything else is serving very
yeah.
well. So, whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for explaining.
No
now
problem.
I understand.
No problem at all.
But you enjoyed being on Drag Race.
I enjoyed being on Drag Race. It was an amazing experience. The first time I went, we actually filmed during COVID.
Oof.
Like, we were, like, one, I think, the first big productions to film during COVID. And nobody knew what was going on.
Mm.
We had no access to the outside world because, mm-hmm. I don't know if I saw this, but they take our phones away.
Oh, yeah.
Us.
You can.
Okay.
Like, I read your contract. That didn't read your contract.
Right.
You're fine.
Right. Period. Well, I don't know. I'm showing them on you.
Exactly. What you going to do?
Right. So, you had no access to the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the middle of this craziness. And you're trying to film a TV show. So that caused a lot of mental strain on us. And we were secluded from each other, you know, when we were not on film, on set. So that played a lot, you know.
So you were alone?
Yes, in a hotel room.
Yeah, quarantined.
Like, quarantined.
Oh, quarantined until you get on set. And then when you're on set, you probably have a mask.
So it's isolating.
We were isolated for 2 weeks before we even went on set to meet anybody.
You had a quarantine.
It was crazy.
Now, this is your first television experience?
No.
In that capacity, no.
Well, in that capacity, yes. Okay. But I had did Braxton Family Values. I was Trina Braxton's backup dancer. I had filmed some other like TV sitcoms and stuff like that.
But this is like you as you, well, you as the person people wanted you to be moving in. That must have been a shock to the system. That's really not fair, and I can understand why the mental health would decline in that moment.
Yeah.
But let's talk about how you rose to the occasion, even though you're not a sewer, even though that's not really what you want to do. What was the conversation you had with yourself? Like, was it a, I'm not failing no matter what, or I'll do it.
Are you talking about the specific challenge?
No, I'm talking about his entire experience.
Oh, okay. Football. Sorry, because I was like, the sewing thing was an isolated challenge.
No, sewing, most drag queens that I know make their own wardrobe.
Oh, good to know. Yeah. See, I don't know that. Thank you. Baby. Okay.
Yeah, very self-sufficient.
Very
Very. I know, and you guys know how to all do better makeup than me, so trust me.
Well.
No, they do. Drag queens do way better makeup than me across the board, hands down.
Listen, I'm probably the one of the ones who don't. Like, I'm not the best makeup artist. So
I love
really? In the same boat. You know?
Okay. So yeah, as you're sizing my face, like, you're like, yeah,
as I'm licking,
like, yeah, we probably do. No, trust me. I've seen you. You do better makeup than me. But anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
No, I just wanted to know that conversation that you had with yourself every day to get ready, to get on stage, to be in this arena that your heart and soul wasn't really in, but you're still getting notoriety for.
Yeah, because I have a passion for entertainment itself. I would continue to tell myself, you are, at the end of the day, you are entertaining. You are doing what you love the most, which is performing for the world to see at this point. So yeah, that is what pushed me every time, every day. Yeah.
And when you decided to leave drag, were you nervous that there was going to be backlash or that you wouldn't be able? Because I can only imagine that if you love to entertain and then you have almost kind of pigeonholed yourself in this one avenue, being concerned that if you let it go, then everything else could possibly go away. I would imagine that would create anxiety or...
Yeah, of course. I feel like with drag, I always say this, I don't want people to take it the wrong way, but I feel like they put drag queens in a box. And I say that in a way of, you can only do things when you're in drag.
Uh-huh. Mm.
They don't realize that if you're acting, dancing, singing... Me, outside of drag, can still do the same thing. It just don't turn on when I put on drag.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was a little nervous about that, that people will only think that, okay, well, he's not doing drag no more, so he can't entertain. Well, I was actually entertaining before the wig and the makeup came.
Right.
I'm still the same person, just not in, you know, in makeup and hair. So, yeah.
I find that a lot. I align with what you're saying. I'm friends with Raven. I'm friends with Morgan McMichaels. And we all know the queen and king of drag, RuPaul. But, like, you can see... Oh, and I love Vicky. You know, I love my Vicky.
Vicky Vox.
Vicky Vox. I love that bitch. But it is that way. And I don't know, and I don't want to get, like, super political, but it is a thing where the entertainer of a... man dressing up as a beautiful, flamboyant, feminine character can be polarizing to some in our middle America. Mm-hmm. And so if you keep someone in a box and that's the only thing you do, it's not going to touch me too much. Yeah. It's not going to bleed into my, oh, I'm not threatened if I keep you in a box, which is unfair. Because to me, the best performers in the entertainment industry are those that can put on a character as thick as a drag character and perform. Mm-hmm. You disappear sometimes. When I see Morgan McMichaels or Raven or Rue get into that character, get into that character, I don't know your government name, but your government name disappears.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's some artists out here, you can have the best voice in the world, or you can have the most money in the world, the most money behind you, but they don't have to hide themselves.
Exactly.
And that's that's admiration coming out of my mouth. There's not a question. Yeah. It's just a pure fucking statement.
Well, I do have a question. Yeah. What is your government name?
It is Larico.
Hey, Larico.
So my LaLaurie is actually, you know, deprived from my government name.
Oh, that makes sense.
I like that. That's smart.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so on Tea Time, we ask all of our guests to put their hand in the pot and pull out the random topic that we have in here. So there's a random topic, and we'll discuss whatever
it's
this is.
It's already greased,
so
don't worry about it. Okay,
I'm bringing it to you.
I have some experience with my hand and, you know, holes and things.
And your beautiful rings might not let you get in.
Like,
I know. Today on Tea Time,
we are talking about...
Ooh, this is so crazy. Me and my Uber driver just had this discussion. Addiction.
Addiction. You talked about it with your Uber driver?
Yeah, listen.
Okay. What's the Uber driver's name?
Uber driver's Michael. Shout out to Michael.
Oh, hey, Michael.
Yeah, how many stars?
5 stars and a good tip.
Okay.
You know, let me tell you a quick story. Me and Michael, we was about to argue when he first picked me up because I was sitting outside and he passed me and he said he didn't see me. I was like, I'm a big black man in a...
Hilarious.
But once we got in the car, we had a great conversation. And one of the
And is he an addict?
Just throws me off every time.
It's my wife.
No, his best friend, well, I don't know if it's his best friend, former friend, he was an addict who lives in Atlanta, actually, as a real estate agent. I'm putting all of Michael's tea out.
It's okay. It's tea time.
It's tea time.
It's a totally appropriate place
could
to
be
do
anybody.
It.
Yeah.
Literally. If you had to say, babes, that you were addicted to something, what would it be?
Can I pick a couple of things?
Sure, yeah. We'll all go.
I'm addicted to food.
Yeah.
I'm addicted, and this is one thing that I don't want to claim because I'm really trying to stop it, but I am addicted to my depression.
Oh. Okay. The comfort?
I'm addicted to the comfort of my depression. Okay. Like, I like the things that happen when I'm in it, like what I do to take care of myself, and then when I'm happy, I do those same things, so I feel like then I'm putting myself in a depression again because I kind of... Does that make sense, babe?
It makes total sense. And oftentimes we find comfort in our dysfunction.
Yes.
That is. And it's only because we have known it for so long and we've lived in it. So we understand, like, this is not how I want to be functioning,
right,
or this isn't great when I'm depressed. But that space of discomfort is comforting.
That's another addiction. And then I'm addicted to making people
laugh.
I'm addicted to it.
Yeah,
I want people to always like me. And when they don't like me, I'll be like, it's okay, you don't have to like me, but I'm going to make you laugh still. You don't have to like me at all.
You wear a lot of masks.
I do.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm a little bit of a bitch, so I embrace that as well.
Absolutely.
What about you, babes? What about you? What do you think you're addicted
to? So food, definitely, for sure. I've had a long-standing history with my relationship to food and my struggles with food, so that's a whole thing. But I feel like I'm also very addicted to TikTok and my phone. And I don't enjoy it. It's very conscious at this point too, where I am aware that, like, I'm going in and I literally will, like,
not I'm going in, I'm strapping up.
Because it's like that. It's like, oh, I know I have a lot of stuff over there, but I am going to completely avoid it and sit my ass on this ground and just scroll. And sometimes I am, like, doom scrolling, and then sometimes I'm not.
What's doom scrolling?
You're just, like, scrolling deeper and deeper into, like, more diagnosis from Dr. TikTok and more, like, doom and horror in the world and more, like, oh my God, I'm never getting on a fucking airplane again because there's another, like, accident or another person freaking out or whatever. So, but sometimes I'm, like, actually joy scrolling where I'm like, oh, this is so cool, and I'm learning how to, like, contour.
Now she categorized the type of scroll.
Did you know this, Lala?
I
didn't know this.
Okay, you guys, that's... There's,
what else are you doing?
There's an addict talking. And now I'm jonesing for my TikTok. No, but I think the phone relationship and the need to, like, go to social media for me, I'm just like, this is kind of...
I think you are addicted to your phone.
I think we all are to some extent, to be 100, but I just don't like that. And then if I were to have another thing...
Yeah, you have to have another addiction. Baby.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm addicted to exercise and my routine around, like... These are the things I have to do every day, because to categorize addiction too, somebody once said to me, you have to assess how would you respond if you didn't have this thing in your life? And if you respond with anger or anxiety or you're fiending in some type of way, you can categorize that as an addiction.
Okay.
So that's how I was kind of assessing my routine and my exercise. And because if I don't have it, I will, like,
she gets
become
a little,
uneasy.
She's a little snitty.
And I have to, But what about you?
Oh, well, food.
Yeah.
Any food?
I literally told my friend, I only work out so I can eat whatever I want. That's not the best
<That's>
way
so
to look
smart.
At me. But
yeah.
I literally
yeah.
work out, just eat whatever I want. I'm addicted to pleasing people, and entertaining and making people laugh. And I found that addiction. So when I was younger, I would get picked on in school for being tall, dark skinned, gay.
Yeah.
And I remember one day I said something at the lunch table. I don't remember what it was, but it made the entire lunchroom just go crazy with laughter. And it was
nailed
like, repeat it.
It,
repeat it, repeat it. The crowd goes crazy.
Yeah.
They were like, repeat it, repeat it. And I realized when they were laughing at jokes that I was saying, they were not talking about me.
Yep.
So that became my addiction to always make people laugh first before they even notice me. I would just, you know, let me make them happy. Let me make them laugh yeah. before they even notice me. So I'm addicted to that. I'm also addicted to, I guess, I don't want to say perfect, but I want to be great in everything that I do.
I relate. Perfectionism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is just, nothing is perfect. So I'm always disappointed when it doesn't go yeah. exactly the way that I want it, but I continue to push myself until, in my mind, I feel like it eventually will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can totally relate to the perfectionism element because for me, I feel like my perfectionism has been so intense that at times I just avoid things altogether because I can't handle the discomfort of something being not perfect. And yeah. again, there is no perfect. And yeah. I realized how many opportunities I've stopped myself from having in life yeah. because I'm like, it's just too daunting. And for me, even like Raven and I will have conversations and she's like, you know, you should just like film yourself doing a skincare routine mm-hmm. because people are always like, Miranda, you have beautiful skin. Okay. She's like, just do it. Just try. And the reason I can't fucking do it, I've tried, but the reason I can't do it is because I can't find the angle. I can't find the way. I don't like how this looks. And then I get really defeated and then I'm bummed and then I wish I had someone helping me. And then I'm just like, this is so painful. Like, yeah. I do not want to do this. Like, I just want my skincare to be a safe space. Goddamn.
Yeah.
But like, it's just that thought process versus yours, which is like, just slap it up and go, is that's a hard one. And even with my writing too, like I enjoy writing, but I will start and then I'll read it and I'm like, oh. It's so hard. You just have to like push yourself, especially as when you're a creative or an artist, because that's your expression. Like yeah. you have to figure out how to like get over that hump. But it's really
how
that's
do you get over that hump, Lala?
I'm still trying to figure it out. Honestly, I really am. I was talking to someone the other day. They were just like, just let it go and just let it be.
Yeah, yeah. Just surrender.
Just surrender to it. Just yeah. let it be. And the right people, it will attract the right people.
They haven't lied to you. Yeah. I do have a question.
It is really hard to trust that, though. You have to trust, and that's hard.
I trust it. I'm a product of it. It works. I want to go back to the pleasing of people, and I don't want to get too personal, so if you don't want to talk about it, be like, next question, bitch. But in your relationships, do you find like you do that in a relationship as well, meaning always trying to prevent the awkward moment by, like, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I'm asking? Do you do that?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Like, I'm in a relationship now, and he told me I do too much for him.
Mm. You love bomb him?
Yeah. Love bomb. Oh, my God. I just read about that today. Mm-hmm. That is so crazy. Yeah, he said I do entirely. Just back off. Just relax. It's all right. I'm not going nowhere. Mm. You got me. You got me. But for some reason, I don't want to lose this man. So let me just continue to give him with random things or do this and that. And he's like, stop.
Does he give it back to you?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, okay. But not as much as me. I'm a big giver.
Catch up, bro.
Catch
it's
up,
like
baby.
The fear of abandonment then is motivating you to be like overly perfect or overly people pleasy with him. Yeah, I think we're the same person.
Yeah,
How do you deal with it? The people pleasing element that you have, because you have it in relationships, you have it in work. Until you don't.
Until I don't. I give everybody 10 points.
Okay.
Everybody
for Gryffindor.
Well, for Ravenclaw.
Oh, shit. That was really good, babe. Oh, my God. You over here being Slytherin, okay? You actually would be more of a Hufflepuff, to be honest. You're so sweet. Anyway.
But I give everybody 10 points. I let them deduce from their score.
Okay.
Right? And I kind of sit back. And I know that's like not technically answering your question on the nose, but I say that to say I will give you my love and affection, And as you show me who you are, you might gain a point, you might lose a point. And I never push beyond that. However, when I'm first meeting someone, I think I do. Like you said that I love bombed you, babe.
That's because you did.
Okay. But
she was buying me gifts, calling me all the time,
FaceTiming. Pause. I buy you gifts now. You just didn't like any of them.
Oh.
Well, and now you do.
Oh. I buy you a lot of things. I'm saying you do. You'll buy me things that you see on the TikTok shop regularly, and I'm like, we don't need more stuff.
Except for the thing that we do need.
But what I'm saying is, in the very beginning of the relationship, when we didn't really know each other, and I didn't feel any of those things were necessarily earned, if you will, by me, you were like overwhelming me with things, and I was like, whoa, and your attention and your.
But like, it is earned because you have 10 points.
Well, see, I didn't know that was your system at that time. So for somebody like me, and probably also like Lala, on the receiving end of that stuff, when you're also the person who's used to being in the relationship that has to be the provider or has to be the one to keep a person there, it's overwhelming. And then it's kind of like, I don't know how to navigate this. And then when it goes away, you're like, what the fuck did I do wrong? And now they're leaving me.
Yeah. That's my boyfriend's thing. He was the provider in all his relationships before me. So he was like, wait a minute, I'm not used to this. What's going on? Like he was used to, when he would get gifted things from his significant other, it was to make up for something they did.
Oh, I know that gift.
Yeah.
you know.
I can't do that gift because like it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Mm-hmm. For me, right? Mm-hmm. I also, we're not gonna get to it, but I'm like angry sex. Anyway,
angry sex.
But like when you get in an argument and then you have sex after, I'm just like, I need like a day.
Because
it's going to connect to it in a different way. It's too much. Anyway.
Yeah, off the topic,
it is a thing where, yes, I know that I do show a lot of love and a lot of caring in the beginning, but I'm not doing it on purpose.
Consciously.
I'm not doing it consciously or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, my toxic trait is when we start getting in fights, I don't know how to communicate very well in a fight, and I get angrier than I need to because of how I was raised. Mm-hmm. So then points start getting deducted. And that's not fair, but I'm just like, oh, that's every time you say this word now, I'm going to remember this fight, and it's hard for me to get back into, you know, full on when we first met. But what I found being married is that... Mm-hmm. Like the point system goes out of the window because it's forever.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like now I just say hills and valleys. Okay. It's like you got to walk forward. You're going to go up, down, up, down, up, down.
Yeah.
And it's not the earth hasn't changed. It's just the terrain that moved. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, we get it. And earlier you mentioned angry sex and
we get it. I love my wife. Yeah, we get it.
Moving on.
It's just the dead.
Was that rude?
It's just the way you God. Said it. Was, yeah, we get it.
I just like, I looked at him. Lala gets it. We get it. Because I was thinking about how sex is also an addiction, and you had brought up angry sex, and I was like, sex is an addiction, and also so much of what you were kind of displaying and explaining is also addictive patterns of behavior that certain people have. And that's all. I'm sure you guys get
addiction,
that too.
Yeah, we get it. Addiction. Addiction is interesting though. Let's like really break it down really fast. Like not necessarily our personal ones, but you guys stick with me for a second. Addiction is weird because it's technically our atoms in our body getting used to a pattern and thinking that it can't survive without it. So therefore it tells our body to and our brain to do that thing.
It's neural pathways that are strengthened by repetition in the brain over and over, or it's chemistry.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. It's, what's the word that you use? The
neural pathways.
So scientific. I love that. Okay, that's so educational. Oh my gosh, you're so smart.
You're welcome.
It's definitely that feeling that if you're not doing it, it's just like something's going on with me. Like I need to do it. Like I have to do it. Like it's just a need. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an itch.
It's an itch.
Yeah. And people, when it comes to alcoholism, there are some people who will define their addiction as like an allergy, where they're like, literally, my body cannot handle it. I'm allergic to it. And then if I have it, I can't stay balanced, right? And then there are other people who will say that it's like a coping mechanism that they then become addicted to. And that's almost like what I'm talking about with the neural pathway, the repeated behavior. Then there becomes a chemical imbalance in your body where you crave that substance.
Like, I'm addicted to smothered covered diced hash browns.
Oh, same.
God, it's so good. Do you cook?
That's a loaded question.
A loaded question. I know. He's like,
are you a Leo? Uh-huh. Are you a Leo?
A Virgo.
Oh,
oh,
I'm a
Leo. Oh, period.
She's a Sag.
Sag. You're welcome.
Yes. Okay. I can cook.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm from the South. But do I like to cook? Absolutely not. Like, I am more of like convenient. Like, let me just
grab
something.
This real quick.
But honestly, when you think about it, you still have to wait.
Always. Still. But so, you don't have to clean up as much.
You don't have to clean up. This is true. Yeah. Yeah. But
we love to cook. We're big cooking people. But you've actually, you go in and out.
I'm going back in, and I saw a couple extra chins, so I decided to stop ordering out.
Period. That's the.
Yeah, I mean, you go exercise, I just stop eating.
You have
it's
to
just
exercise.
What how you choose. It's how you choose to live life.
Do you dance daily? Is that a thing for you? Is that
are
like
you
part of your
dance?
Exercise? Well, not addicted, but
yeah, I dance just because. Like, I would literally wake up.
Ready
swirl
to go.
And give me a little 1, 2, 3. You know, I dance in the shower. Like, dance for me is just like freedom. Mm. You know, it's just, it's my happy place.
Yeah.
Like, I dance when I'm happy, I'm dance when I'm sad, I'm dance when I'm going through something. Like, dance has always been just that outlet for me when I just need to just let go.
North Star artist to dance or choreograph for? Dream. Dead or alive?
Michael Jackson.
I knew you were going to say it.
Michael Jackson.
Why?
Michael Jackson.
No.
But no.
Why?
Michael,
because you're only doing one type of dance with Michael. You're not gonna be able to do a whole bunch
this is,
of stuff.
And I will learn that dance
okay,
from Michael.
Fair,
listen,
fair.
I will train
okay.
for Michael.
The moonwalk.
We're just gonna.
I did it on purpose, you guys. I did it on purpose.
Yeah,
I'm not
she got
that
another
stupid.
One in. You got... are now sitting in the world with Tiffany Haddish, where she says something and this crowd goes silent.
You're welcome. It was intentional. I just need to just preface that. Okay. Anyway, go on.
Michael just defined for me, like, what commercial dancing is.
Okay.
And just to be underneath another Virgo, for one, it's just, I don't know. I can't even put it into words. I just want to experience, like, being under Michael, what made Michael Michael? What made Michael this great artist? What attracted people so much to Michael? Why were people passing out in the first 5 minutes of Michael's concert?
There's
it
a good book
so
that I'm
interesting.
There's a book that I'm listening to because I don't read. I listen to my books.
She doesn't know how to read.
Well, I do. Let's not put
you
that
and
out
Leah
there.
Michelle.
I
don't
know
how to read.
I definitely know how to read, Leah.
I don't.
Okay.
Well, not in that way. I can read. Huh?
Well, we can read.
Oh, yeah. So neither of you can read books, but you can read.
We can read.
There you go.
But I am listening to a book called On Michael Jackson, and it kind of breaks down why those things are happening. I think you should listen to it or read it.
No, listen.
But one of the things that's interesting is, you know, once in a lifetime do you get these massive mega superstars. Mm-hmm. And when you do, they are convoluted. It is pain. It's addictions. Mm-hmm. It's extreme talent. It's suppression. It's something that it has no word for it because we're such human earth beings compared to what I truly believe is inside of a human like Michael Jackson or an Elvis, which is not really an earth being. And I find it interesting because still the North Star for so many dancers. And I'm going to be controversial here. Listen, I love my Jacksons. Yeah, y'all know I love y'all. Y'all know I love y'all. But I feel like Missy gives dancers more of an outlet for creativity. Yeah. And when you're under Michael, you are Michael. He just has little hymns mm-hmm. all on stage. Mm-hmm. And with Missy or even Janet, mm-hmm. you know, or... And Madonna never did. I mean, yeah, back in the day, Madonna had her people. But even still, like, I feel Missy does some mm-hmm. beautiful things for dancers.
Yeah.
All that being said, what Missy song are you choreographing?
You forgot J-Lo, because she does a lot for her dancers. Just saying. So what song are you choreographing?
Work It.
Don't listen.
Work It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Work It. Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you
want
to know a story?
Of course.
She's going to tell you even if you don't want to know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, of course.
I just want to tell you something crazy. I think you'll relate. No, you won't relate.
I can't wait to hear this story.
So... I think that being able to sing or being able to dance are like, they're the pinnacle of, if I could have anything that's what I would have wanted for myself in talent. So I decided that I'm from LA, and there's a studio called Millennium. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Oh, Millennium! Yes.
So I decided, right, that I was going to learn how to dance. And I was like, I'm going to go to Millennium and take a dance class.
That was smart.
When I tell you, I fucking go into this dance class, and I don't know what the hell I was watching, but a person basically was like, and one, and two, and this, and that. And everyone around me just, like, fell into line. Like, they all knew it. And I was like, oh, are you new here? Yeah, we're all new. And then everyone just knew it. And I was like, all what? I was so awkward, so a mess. And it was Missy that we had to do. And then they pushed me in the middle. I was like, never again am I doing this. I literally stood there. And it, you know when the song is like, ah, try to lick shots, try to. Okay. And that was, why you frontin'? And I was like, that's all I could do. In the middle of this, I was frontin'. It was horrible. It was horrible. And you know, I just want to, there's nothing here other than my humiliation and my telling you that dancing to Missy was traumatic for me, and I hope it happens for you.
The trauma part? The or trauma that he gets
no,
to dance?
No, I don't wish the trauma on you. I mean, because you would do it. You would know how to do the frontin' in a good
front
way.
End. You front end. Well, now you can add this and the shimmy to it, too.
There so
you
it got, is. Like, front end.
Yeah,
frontin'.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Not frontin'.
But I just mean, I hope that you get the opportunity to dance with Missy.
With whoever you want to.
Yeah. With Missy.
Yeah, Missy will be, like
or whoever
said,
you want to, yeah.
I gave him Missy. He wanted Michael.
I know. I'm getting, I was embarrassed. I was living in my trauma. I hope you get to dance with Michael.
Okay. Thank you.
I want all your dreams to come true.
Oh, I know.
Okay. Bring it back.
Michael's here. You're his choreographer. What song are you what song are you choreographing?
Remember the Time.
Ooh.
Oh, that song just does something to me every time I hear it. Like, it's just, it was a spiritual moment when that song came out for me. That was like, I think one of the first music videos that I learned as a child was that choreography.
Wow.
To Remember
the Time. Yeah. I knew one of the dancers in that video.
Really?
I did. That's another kind of story we'll talk about.
Yeah. You know all your dancers.
I know so many dancers. I am, I'm enjoying myself with you.
I'm enjoying myself with you both as well. I love you. For real, let's tell me she's enjoying me. Oh my God.
No, I really am. You're
you have a lovely energy.
Yeah, you do.
Very...
Thank you.
Please don't get addicted to drugs.
Oh, no.
You've gone through so much. You've gone through your journey as a child and being in the LGBTQ community. You've gone through a television experience that most won't really come through unscathed / even want to stay in the industry. And if they do, they stay in the box because they're too afraid to get out of it. And you are out here saying, no, I'm taking control of my own life. I am being true to who I am and what I want to be. I hope that Auntie Fish is proud of you.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yes.
Good.
Auntie Fish. They are very proud.
Break them off some money.
Yeah. Well.
Oh. No, don't.
No.
Not yet.
Okay.
All right. Yet.
Take them off the house then.
Oh, my God. Let's toast.
Cheers.
Cheers. Today we are toasting to Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan.
What's up, John?
Jonathan is 191 years old.
Well, got it.
And he is a tortoise. Oh. And he is the oldest being on this planet.
I don't believe it.
He is.
I don't believe
he
it.
He is the oldest living being
they
on this planet.
They have not scoured the bottom of the ocean.
Living being. Living tortoise. Jonathan. He's 191 years old.
Shout out to Jonathan.
We can't.
I just don't agree. I don't agree, John. I'm sorry. I'll give you your flowers,
oh
boo.
Oh, my God. And if you see his little face, it's so old and wrinkled. Like, he's lived 191 years. Think about it, you guys.
That's a long time. I know. Jonathan just wake up every day and said, Jesus, why not? Why? What did I do to deserve to be here, Jesus? Like, what's going on?
You know what's funny to me is everyone is running around trying to find, like, the fountain of youth and doing all these NAD drips and all this shit. They need to go talk to Jonathan.
Yeah.
Like, what? He must have no stress.
He lives in the ocean where the actual oldest being is.
He doesn't live in the ocean.
Tortoises are in the ocean?
No. Sea turtles.
See,
yeah, he is a land-dwelling tortoise.
Oh, wow.
Sea turtles live in the ocean.
Yeah.
What would you do if you were 191 years old? Or if you made it to 191 years old?
Do I have to say, every day I will call Jesus on the main line. You don't want me yet? Like, girl, what's going on?
What I do?
On the main line? You're like, why am I in hell?
Right, girl. What's the tea? You don't see what's going on down here?
I know. Oh, my God, for real.
What would you do at 197,000 years old?
Me? Mm-hmm. I would learn how to... She added a lot of years. I'd learn how to dance for real.
Hilarious.
I would learn how to do the moonwalk really well. Yeah, I have all the time in the world. Yeah. I would learn how to sing. I'd be like, yeah. Like Wicked.
The stories that John must have, like, I really would love to sit down and talk to John for real. And just like.
That was a magical set that is going to change the trajectory of movie making and the culture that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. Like that's that one of a kind movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Well, when I'm 197 years old, I plan on selling my plasma for others because.
I'd buy it. I'd buy it.
Period.
Yeah.
I'm making money. Okay.
You might as well.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Let's go. Lala, you've been an absolute joy. Thank you for spilling some tea with us and having us such a lovely conversation and getting to know us.
Anytime.
And please come back.
Anytime.
Yes.
Yes.